It is good to be with you again and to assist Pastor in session, as I have at least once a year, I guess, over the last decade or so. It's always good to be with you. Christians pray, not only for themselves, but also for others, for members of our family, for loved ones who may be far away, others in our church, and so on. Usually our first concern is for people's physical needs. Do they need a job? Do they have enough food? Are they able to sleep in a comfortable house with good shelter? They enjoy satisfactory health and safety in their travel and activities. So is that what prayer is basically all about? Let me call your attention to the way Paul opens this letter to the Philippians. He speaks about his prayer, beginning in verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Interesting, isn't it? Paul was never ignorant or indifferent to people's material needs. He surely prayed for his own and for their daily bread, as Jesus taught his disciples, the necessities of physical life. But these things were always in his mind and in his writings subservient to what we might consider spiritual realities. When he writes to these young Christians in the city of Philippi, he gives thanks for their Christian character and service, their partnership or their fellowship with him in the gospel. So most important for Paul was his relation with them as fellow believers in Jesus Christ. To be specific, just why is he thankful? Well, he's thankful for their fellowship. Now, that is a warm and fuzzy word, a word that is common in our society at probably a rather watered-down level. It often applies to the fun that people have when they get together to have a game of cards or share a drink at a cocktail party or get together for a dance or a gathering at a local tavern. Wherever people may get together to have a good time, that's fellowship. But in the Bible, Christian fellowship has to do with the gospel of Christ, of our common commitment to him. So, what do Paul's prayers and thanksgiving tell us about genuine fellowship? Let me point out three things that make it a very beautiful thing. In the first place, Christian fellowship breathes a spirit of love and affection. Paul, you know, went from Asia across a small body of water into Europe to Philippi as a missionary, but not simply to preach there a few times and organize whatever converts he might be able to produce and then go on his way. No, he was never interested in their money. He was never interested in an impressive statistical report or in feeding his own ego about his persuasiveness as a speaker. The people who believed in Jesus became part of his life. He writes to them here saying, I hold you in my heart. I hold you in my heart. While he was confined to prison, a prison located in a city that remains somewhat uncertain, he began to pray for these folks. And he thought of his Christian friends. And immediately, joy filled his soul. He says in verse 8, God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Jesus is loving these people through the Apostle Paul. His ministry among them was not simply a matter of declaring the truth, as important and fundamental as that is. It also involved a strong devotion to those people as men, women, and children. He puts it this way when he wrote to the church in nearby Thessalonica. He says to them, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, the truth of the message, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. You had become very dear to us. That was Paul's ordinary way of relating to people. Now, we have to admit that Paul was a remarkable, unusual, perhaps, man, but his love for others is still the rule for Christians, as he famously writes in the first letter to the Corinthians, the chapter 13, very well-known chapter on love. Do you have that affection for your Christian brothers and sisters? They dear to you. Do you pray for one another with joy, with thanksgiving for the common faith that you have been given? When we have each other in our hearts, we can't help but rejoice and give thanks for the fellowship. We want to encourage one another. We want to assist one another. It's not enough just to tolerate each other week by week or day after day. No, God wants us to enjoy one another's company, to learn from our brothers and sisters, to miss them when they're absent or away or when they're having difficulty. This fellowship, you see, that is created by the gospel breathes deep and sincere affection. Well, how did Paul come to have that fellowship with these believers in Philippi? He says here that this Christian fellowship stems from a common service for the gospel. They've been sharing in the work of the gospel. Paul's desire to see his friends in Philippi goes back to his very earliest days in the city. As Luke reports in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, very important and well-known chapter in that book, Paul and his co-workers, upon arriving in Macedonia, where Philippi was located, visited a place at the riverside. And sure enough, there were some Jewish believers not Christians yet, but they were devout Jews there, meeting for prayer. And there was one woman in particular named Lydia who was among that group of people. She heard the gospel. She was converted to faith in Christ, received baptism, and her immediate response was to invite these missionaries who had brought this message to stay in her house, to come and receive her hospitality. Imagine that. Lydia and her household considered it to be this great privilege to host the missionaries who had come from a distance. For how long, we might wonder. We don't really know the details at that point. But some days later, while Paul continued his ministry there, he delivered a local slave girl from the control of an evil spirit. And that act of kindness towards her led to his being beaten up by her masters and by a mob, and then thrown into prison as a disturber of the peace, as an upsetter of the established order. Surely Lydia and the other believers in Philippi at that time prayed for Paul and for Silas, his co-worker who was imprisoned with him. And then Luke goes on to tell us that while they were in prison, at midnight, these two men, Paul and Silas, were praying and singing hymns to God. And suddenly, there was this great earthquake. The entire prison shook. In fact, the doors flung open, liberating all of the inmates. And when the jailer woke up and saw what had happened, he drew his sword and was preparing to kill himself because he was afraid that all of the prisoners had escaped and he would be executed anyway. Paul cried out that no prisoners had gone away. We are all still here. And so this jailer fetched lights, rushed into the room where the prisoners were and fell down before Paul and Silas and said very famously, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, as you know, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." And so the apostles proceeded to explain to him and to the others around the gospel. And that resulted that very night in this jailer's salvation and his baptism with all of his family. Well, the next morning, the civil authorities seemed to have had a change of heart, and they ushered the men out of prison. We don't need to go into all the details, but Paul and Silas went to see Lydia, speak to the other believers and encourage them, and then promptly left town. Well, later on, Paul recalls their help that they had offered to him on more than one occasion. And apparently, prior to writing this letter, he had recently received a gift from them. And indeed, these believers in Philippi generously sent gifts to the poor Christians living in Jerusalem. Is it any wonder that Paul loved them and esteemed them highly? They're such generous people. So they had a long history of fellowship in furthering the gospel, both through Paul's ministry elsewhere, in Macedonia and other parts of ancient Greece, as well as among Christians in Jerusalem. So whether Paul is in prison, as he was when he writes this letter, or he's out and about defending and confirming the gospel, these Christians in Philippi supported him with their prayers, with cooperation, with whatever was necessary and whatever they could supply. Do we see ourselves in that light, as partners with others in the gospel? That's what we are. The missionaries that we support in various countries around the world, the church planters that we support and pray for in our own country, those who are serving internships together with the elders who are overseeing them, we have fellowship with these people. Ministers are called to preach the Word of God. Other elders in the congregations join them in shepherding God's flock. Deacons lead in caring for those who have physical needs and perhaps also maintaining the church's property. And others of us serve in a variety of ways, including prayer support, giving of finances, all to further the advance of the gospel. Some people, you know, are attracted to very large churches. Now, big churches have lots of advantages, lots of opportunities. But sometimes people are drawn to those large churches because they can remain relatively anonymous, you know, just one of 1,000 or 5,000 people that just comes into the service from time to time. They like being uninvolved in the life and ministry of the church, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. God wants each one of us, whether we're in a large church or a smaller one, to be as active and involved as we are able to be with our fellow believers. Our love and affection as brothers and sisters depends upon how freely and enthusiastically we join hand in hand for the service of the gospel. But there's even more to it than that. The reason for Paul's prayer of thanksgiving for these people goes deeper. It's not simply this common task to which they've all committed themselves. True Christian fellowship is a bond that has been created and is now being completed by the grace of God. Paul felt so strongly about the Philippians because they were together partakers of God's grace. He says, "It's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace." Partakers with me of grace. All of them had received the free, undeserved favor of God extended to lost sinners. God has opened up all our hearts, if we are Christians, to the truth of Jesus Christ. And here is the real secret, you see, of Paul's gratitude. He loved these believers because their partnership, their association, their activity wasn't arranged by themselves as the result of any purely natural attraction. This local church in Philippi embraced a wealthy businesswoman, a jailkeeper, a slave girl, a former slave girl anyway, and probably a lot of other people of diverse backgrounds and character. Whatever of importance among them was started by God, their spiritual life, their love for Jesus Christ, that was given to them by the grace of God. Their fellowship went much beyond any ordinary human relations. This is the reason for us to be thankful and to love one another. God has started something wonderful among us in His church. He gives us, at the outset, that perfect record of Jesus Christ, His Son, when we believe on Him. And then He begins to make us over in His likeness, which is a lifelong and often a very slow and difficult process. But Paul can be happy because he knows that God will not do a halfway job in this. God isn't like us. We engage in lots of experiments, right? Some of our projects that may be near and dear to our hearts at one point don't work out, and they end up on the floor. We begin tasks that we never finish. God is not like that. He has a plan for us that He will carry to its completion, right until the return of Jesus Christ. Has God started something in your life, given you faith, given you a love for the Word of God and for the Savior? If you believe in Jesus Christ, God has begun the great work of salvation within you. And we who have had that started in our hearts are safe in Christ because the end result is in God's hands. This is the solid foundation for the wonderful Christian fellowship that we can enjoy. We love one another because we have a common share, a secure part in the saving work of God. We begin to enjoy true fellowship even in this life, but it will grow and it will last for all eternity. And because God is at work in us, we ought to work even more closely together to advance the gospel through His church. If we're partakers of God's grace, if we know He will surely work it out to perfection up until the very day that Jesus Christ returns in glory, how great ought to be our service for Christ and our love for one another. What a beautiful fellowship God has made and is building in His church. May His name be praised forever. Let's pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank You for Your grace. Grace that has called us out of darkness into the light of the gospel and has made us a part of Your church, those who are being redeemed through the work of Your Son. We pray that we may cherish that fellowship and treasure it day by day, week by week. May we see the opportunities that present themselves to us to be of service to one another in the body of Christ, and so demonstrate the beauty of the fellowship that You are making. We pray this in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen.